Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the E2G Sports Network, home of the Unsung Sports Grid. Visit us at E2GSports.com and follow us across the socials for up-to-the-minute sports news. This podcast is the property of E2G Sports LLC. Now, it's time for the show.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Table Talk. I am Janiak. I am here with...
Hello, hello.
This is show number 19. We are so excited to be back after 4th of July weekend. How was your long weekend, AG?
I was mostly spent recovering. I didn't do a whole hell of a lot, and it was exactly what I needed. Just like super restful, chill weekend. I did host a game night, which was a good time. And that was it.
I love it. Yeah. I need more game nights, that's for sure.
Game night was a good time. I was, like, sitting around on Saturday. Like, I had, you know, gone to my breakfast because I have my weekly breakfast. And I was just chilling, doing nothing. And I was good with that for a couple of hours. And then I was like, wait a minute, I'm bored. I need to do something. I texted the neighbors. And, I had five people here. Or there are five of us total, I should say. And we went for a while. It was a good time.
Well, did you play Cards Against Humanity?
We did. We introduced two new, I mean, it's an old game at this point, right? But we introduced two new people to Cards Against Humanity who were great contenders.
Really?
Mild-mannered. Yes! One of our mild-mannered, like, barely swears friends was putting him down. She gasped a couple times when she got her cards. Yes, and then Christine went hard in the paint. Hard in the paint. She was great.
Oh, yeah. My God, I love it. I love it. I love it. Well,
yeah.
On to some hot topics. Badass woman, bad behavior. What the fuck moments of the week, and a really fun fan moment of the week, I think. But first, rest in peace to NHL goalie Mathis Kavlanic, who passed away in a tragic fireworks accident over the weekend. He was 24. He had just started his NHL career with the Columbus Blue Jackets. A very horrible accident. We should have maybe talked a little bit about fireworks safety, but this was one of the... fireworks was angled the wrong way.
Yeah, I don't know that him understanding fireworks safety would have made a difference, because my understanding is he was chilling in a hot tub.
Yeah.
And a firework, like, shot the wrong way and hit him. Like, you know.
Hit everybody in the hot tub. Like, right. Oof.
Yeah. He were like.
Tragic.
Jumping, you
tragic.
Know, like, and it's really kind of frightening. It's, you know, they're pretty and all. But they wreak havoc. It doesn't make any fucking sense. I don't get it. At minimum, I mean, wouldn't have prevented this, but at minimum, we should have the ones that don't have those loud bang, like that loud noise here in the States. It doesn't make any sense. I mean, look what happened. Like, Allie Raceman's dog is missing right now because it got spooked from fireworks.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it got, last I heard, and this was just earlier today, even the last report, her dog was on leash and got spooked by fireworks and went running. And, you know, it's tagged and leashed and just out. And this is, I believe, 4th of July is the day when most dogs go missing. And it's just, you know, we had in Boston, the story is odd at best, but we had a 16-year-old girl walking her dog along with her boyfriend late at night on 4th of July. She held, this is the story, sounds a little suspect. There's a story that she was, shook the dog out much later than normal because the dog had been freaked out by fireworks. So they waited till the fireworks were over and everything had calmed down, shook her dog out, and she got shot. I mean, real, she had surgery. She's at Mass General and due to recover, but car pulled up. And fired some rounds. Who knows what prompted that or whatever, but, you know, they're pointing at fireworks as to be why she was out late at night. Like, I don't know. It's a weird story. Yeah.
It's, I mean, it's crazy. Governor Cuomo officially declared gun violence as a state of emergency here in New York. So away we go.
Yeah. And all those law-abiding, you know,
citizens
folks
that
are shooting people on the streets will take heed and not shoot anybody because the governor declared it, right?
They're actually going around on rented scooters and opening fire on people. There's people on a Lime scooter riding double. There's video of it. It was just released this morning. And the passenger is spraying bullets on people at a restaurant in Harlem.
Yeah, so I'm going to just say if those folks had heard about the governor's, you know, announcement, maybe they wouldn't have. Like just like let that sink in. That's not how that works.
No.
Those idiots are going to be spraying gunfire at people regardless of, you know, any laws or anything.
Well, I think it's about what they can do as far as getting assistance to help curtail it. I'll figure it out later, but it was just it just came out on Twitter before we jumped on the phone. But oh,
weird.
It's bad in New York. Anyways, we'll move on to hot topics and more fun things like the 4th of July tradition, that is Nathan's hot dog eating contest, has two new winners or two champions, 14-time champ Joey Chestnut, as we all know as Jaws, shoved down 76 hot dogs at 22,800 calories in 10 minutes to capture the men's crown. And Michelle Lesko choked down 33.7, actually, hot dogs in 10 minutes for the women's. Both of them walk away with $10,000 each, just enough to get that liposuction. I'm not quite sure if this is something. I'm fascinated by it. They do it every year. Well, they didn't do it last year, right, obviously, because of COVID. But I just don't understand how you do that.
So they dip them in water is my understanding. This is something I've watched it before. I have a very difficult time watching it without gagging. I don't think it's a sport. It is a competition. I don't know if
it is covered by ESPN, and ESPN has actually gotten most of the backlash for this.
Was that ESPN the Ocho, Jane? Was that ESPN the Ocho?
No.
What?
Regular ESPN, which apparently failed tremendously, and their technology for this, both on cable and on anyone who was streaming it over their phone, had multiple interruptions while it was live, so they couldn't even keep a live feed up for 10 minutes. I'm not quite sure what's happening at ESPN, but the place is on fire right now, people.
So let me get this
straight. Much going
on. They can essentially tap Nichols' hotel room, but they can't live stream the hot dog eating contest from Coney Island. Is that right? Do I have that right?
That is correct.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure I had a full understanding of their capabilities. Okay.
Failure, epic failure at every angle. But anyways, moving on to something really fun that we love personally is holy moly. We witnessed journalist David Biggie take home the plaid jacket and golden putter. He joined Lynch, Alvarez, and Sledge in the hunt for the $250,000. I gotta say this guy might be the guy to beat, only because, I mean, he's got the goggles. And apparently they're welder goggles. I'm not sure if these are giving him an advantage or not. The fact is he took so many hits to the face on Double Dutch that, it was absolutely TV magical. Even Rod Riggle had to pipe in and say, hey, we're not just here for the wipeouts, guys, but this is pretty fun.
Yeah.
Do you think this is an advantage? What do you think, these goggles?
I think the goggles don't have anything to do with anything. I think that that the guy doesn't have any fear, and that's one of the keys to being successful in holy moly. I think that you got to be ready to take one to the face. And like me, you know, I'm not going to take one to the face, not going to risk losing a tooth. This guy is like, all right, like just hit me with your best shot in the words of Pat Benatar, and he's off to the races. And And I, like, as you know, I find the show very humorous. Those are my laugh out loud moments of the week. If it's not an exchange with one of my friends, right, that is typically what gets me to like laugh my ass off. Holy Moly is actually doing that. Like, I apparently laugh very like loud and alone during Holy Moly.
And let's wear together.
Yeah, I'm like I make these like my laugh is almost unnatural. Like it's like I hear myself and I'm like, what happened to you? What are you doing? You're like that crazy person laughing by themselves. And so I find it hysterical. Like I really enjoy it. I look forward to it each week. It's ridiculous. So it's ridiculous, but I don't have a favorite player at this time. I haven't gotten anyone.
This David Bigby guy, I mean, he's a journalist in New Jersey who challenges people to play him at mini golf, and he's never lost.
So yeah, that makes him nuts. I mean, well, I'm glad he finally has a place to capitalize, to potentially capitalize on this. Can you imagine, like, some guy's like, oh, hey there, meet me on the mini golf course. Yeah, I'll see you at Pirate's Cove. You know what I mean?
I'll see you on a boardwalk.
Yeah.
At Jenkins in Point Pleasant, New Jersey. Bring it on.
They're going to go to Kimball's here in Massachusetts. They're going to be like, all right, I'll meet you in, I think it's Westford, right? I'll meet you there. First, we're going to do the bumper boats, okay? Then the mini golf. And if you're lucky, ice cream. I think he's on the loser, you know. It's like that was, by the way, that was my my Ben Stiller voice from Dodgeball when he was. Oh my God, how am I drawing a blank on his character's name? Oh shit. Anyway, that was my voice of Ben Stiller in Dodgeball. Just so you know.
Well, I love it. I love it. Well, moving on to across the pond here at Wimbledon. Federer punched his ticket to the quarterfinals this morning. Unfortunately, Coco Gauff did not. McNally and Gauff are actually competing right now to claim the women's doubles crown. We wish these ladies lots of luck. They are the last Americans left in any type of race for Wimbledon. But things have been very exciting with in the women's semifinals. We're seeing brand new faces and new names. So there's some new folks to watch for tennis and for the Olympics coming up.
Yay. Oh, and it's Dwight Goodman. I needed to look that up before I lost my mind. It distracted me for a long time. No, I think that it's always nice to see new talent in tennis. Obviously, the talent we're used to seeing has been entertaining us for a long time. They're highly skilled, great to watch. But I love seeing new talent, so yay.
Yeah, there's a girl from Britain who – fought her heart out this morning, and we'll hopefully see her compete again next year. She's great. She's 18. So, you know, lots of room for her to grow and really dominate in tennis. It'll be fun to watch. So the wheels are off the wagon here in the Bronx as the Yankees almost got swept by the Mets on the Subway Series. I mean, the crowd was really into it, but, you know, we'll see what happens. It's over the holiday weekend. It's something people look forward to around here, going back and forth between the two teams. I just feel it's great to say that both the Mets and the Red Sox are keeping the pinstripes in their place over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I mean, as a fan, as a person who was a Met fan as a kid, right, back in those days, we would have loved to see, you know, every Subway Series come out with the Mets on top. I think it's great. I root for the home team, right? So I've been in Massachusetts for way longer than I was in New York. I've adopted the Red Sox as my team. As a Met fan as a kid, I never had, like, an affinity for the Yankees. I just never had that, like, Yankee hate that
we're born and bred with in Boston.
Yeah, no, I quite honestly, it's not something that, I mean, I know the history of it and all that kind of stuff, but, like, Yeah, I like to go to the park, watch a game, eat a hot dog, right? I was far more invested as a kid when it was Daryl Strawberry, Dwight Gooden, Lenny Dykstra, you know, like all those folks. I was, you know, that was, it was a very exciting time.
The World Series winning team.
and back in those times,
we
you
know
my,
all about
my
that.
Social circle. Yeah, my dad was a Dodger fan. And so when the Dodgers left Brooklyn, he didn't adopt a new team. And so I didn't grow up with a big team affinity, right? And he didn't follow the Dodgers when they went to California. That just wasn't his thing. I think he probably just felt betrayed and wasn't going to make it another investment. And so therefore, I didn't grow up with, you know, a real strong team affinity. So that's sort of my baseball history, Jane, in case you were curious. I adopted the team that my friends were into when I was like middle school, junior high kind of thing. And that coincided with the Met trip to the World Series. Coincidentally, that also like coincided with
the Red Sox
boyfriend
demise.
Who was a big Yankee fan.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so that was that was my first Yankees anybody rivalry kind of thing. But yeah, so that is all wrapped up for me, like fun stuff. But yeah, great that that they're losing, I guess, and that other teams are winning, and we're into that unless and until there's a meetup in the World Series, right? So
we will see. All right. Well, a violent robbery in Hollywood and of NBA Laker Caldwell Pope, as well as attempted robbery of Fashion Nova CEO, Richard Shangan, that was turned into a deadly shootout, could be connected. According to law enforcement sources, both victims were followed home from Hollywood outings and robbed for their jewelry. The difference was the CEO had a security team that shot two of the robbers. So the investigation is ongoing. They're still searching for the third robber. There was three robbers in each one of these. Everyone thinks they're connected, but they haven't come out and said it yet. And it seems to be a small ring of robbers going after more Hollywood, for lack of better term, elites.
Yeah, I mean, they got $150,000 off the Caldwell Pope crew that they, I shouldn't say crew, but like he was out with his friends in the driveway, right? And they got like $150,000 worth of stuff off of those folks. I'll say that the security team did a good job killing one, injuring another. That's two out of three. Looking great if
and they were down on the ground.
Yeah.
Mean, so
maybe
one of
maybe
their guys, one
the,
of the security team was shot as well, but he is going to recover. His injuries are not life threatening. But yeah, so they definitely shot back.
Oh, I mean, these guys, like, I would say I will say if his security team took out two out of three, you know, mm-hmm. that's going to lessen the, you know, or maybe, you know, when people shoot back, you know, maybe the robbers think twice about their targets. You know, they started to go after, they got greedy. Maybe they started going after higher and higher profile folks. I don't know. But there's, you know, cause and effect. If you decided to try to rob people who are armed security people, you better be prepared to get your ass shot. That's all. Cause and effect.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, pay attention. And in a horrifying story out of Georgia, a golf pro was killed on the 10th hole at Pine Tree Country Club in Keenshaw over the weekend. Gene Schiller, the director of golf, was working Saturday when someone drove a white pickup truck onto the course before stalling near the 10th hole. Witnesses told WSIA News in Atlanta when Siller showed up at the hole to investigate, he was shot and killed by the driver. The police found the bodies in the back of a pickup truck and still have yet to determine the motive or arrest the driver or find the driver. All right, so why I'm not seeing this on every news channel as far as, like, if you know who did this, like, we now have a serial killer running loose in Georgia. So this is kind of really crazy. There is a GoFundMe page set up for the 41-year-old Siller who left behind, unfortunately, a wife and two children.
Yeah, his kids are like 6 and 7 or something like that. Really young kids. 2:30 in the afternoon, right?
Yeah.
Is when the calls went in for this one. It's a strange story. I would say one of the reasons they probably don't know who the gunman is because the guy who that truck was registered to was one of the dead guys in the back. So,
yeah.
You know, one of the two guys had already been murdered. So yeah, this mass murderer, you know, it appears that he killed this Gene Stiller guy because he happened upon the crime. And that was because someone else had reported that there was a car out there. And it's just really, it's shocking almost that he's the only one, you know, from the golf club that ended up dead. It's a sad story. The reason you're not seeing a lot of it is because the guy apparently ran off on foot and it happened just outside of Atlanta. So I would imagine it's like blanketing the Atlanta news, which will probably soon be overtaken by news of storms. But
he's been out there since Saturday. Where is he?
Yeah.
They haven't found him yet? Why is the Atlanta on lockdown now? Like, this is crazy.
Yeah, you don't know. None of this appears random, right? That's probably why the city and the state's not on lockdown, right? I would say, you know, sheltering in place probably was done all around that golf course and, you know, a radius around it immediately after the incident. But it's a truly sad story. I believe I read that thus far that GoFundMe has raised or an event.
Over 400,000.
Like 146,000 or something less, I saw. And it's just, you know, people are victims of gun violence all the time. Some are high profile, some are not. And this one's a higher profile. Also noted it was rich white people at a country club that got, a rich white person that are seemingly, I don't know if he was rich, he worked there, maybe wasn't, but
he was
a
golf pro, he's probably not.
That's stuff that gets covered, right? Like how many other people got shot or got killed in gun violence or any violence, when happening upon a crime in the past week? You know, everybody should be outraged.
I'm not sure I want to know that number.
You probably don't want to know that number, but
I definitely don't want to know that number right now.
Yeah, a married white guy with two little kids, and he's getting a whole lot of press as a result of it, right?
Well, I think it's just the nature of how it happened. It's like a scene out of a movie.
Yeah.
Well, moving on to more fun things, Bob Kraft at Chef dug deep into the Patriot Way and recovered from his knee injury to join the crew back on Below Deck Med. The guests were very happy with his return and loved his food, so it'll be interesting to see what dishes he comes out with, but the crew still has yet to get a meal from him, and we're hoping he will cook for the meal because we're going to see how hangry the crew gets and maybe turns on him next week.
Yeah, I can't be bothered to watch that show, so you'll have to take that topic on your own.
Well, just keep track of it. I just find it fascinating that he's cooked for all these people, and he's caught in a confessional saying how he gets stage fright when cooking for people. So we think that he faked his injury in order to not cook for people that night. So we're going to see. It's all going to come out, I'm sure, next week. I just find it, like, a little bit hilarious. But, you know, he had to dig deep there and get through it. But speaking of Bob Kraft, he was spotted in the Hamptons over the weekend with all of his famous friends at 76ers.
And living his best life.
And he really is. I mean, I love it. I love it. He was with 76ers owner Michael Rubin, his new BFF. Partying alongside with Jay-Z, Beyonce, Meek Mill, Travis Scott, James Harden, Yo Gotti, Bon Jovi, Kid Cudi, Megan Thee Stallion, you know, just to name a few. If you want to see some of the really fun videos of people dancing and different DJs, you can go to TMZ Sports. I mean, it was just awesome. I'm excited to see Bob Kraft just out there shaking his thing at 80-something years old.
Oh, yeah, when you look at the demographics of that party, you definitely think, like, somebody who is, like, a geriatric guy is going to be out there. I mean, it's going to keep him young. You don't see Jonathan at that party, though, right? That's totally a bomb.
Right?
That's right.
No sign of Jonathan, but your dad's out there.
Right.
It's just like Mr. Krabs always has a martini.
It's fun. The breakdancing videos were fun. It just looked like everybody's having a good time. People really want to be out, as we know. And, good to see that folks are out there and enjoying themselves, and they're all white.
Well, I love that Ruben has taken over the white party.
Yeah, Bon Jovi was, his vest was a little bit of a champagne-y, sort of ivory, more than a white. I guess that's allowed. I don't know.
It's in the family. All fun. Happy 4th of July, people. In the NHL, Stanley Cup Finals were almost a sweep last night, but the Habs finally pulled out a win over the Tampa Bay Lightning, forcing a game 5. This game definitely turned bloody. It was a knockdown, drag-out fight between the two teams. There was a high stick to the face, and the Habs failed to take advantage of the power play. They got a 4-minute power play. They did not score during that time. The Lightning were able to hold them off. I thought they were actually going to pull it out. It would have been the first time since 1998 that a team swept the Stanley Cup Finals. They did not do that, and the city of Montreal went absolutely crazy. The team won. You're going to love the passion for this team. Our neighbors to the north are staying strong during their extended lockdown, although it really didn't look like they were on lockdown last night. There are people all over the streets. I think Tampa, though, may just want to win this at home like the Bucks did. What do you think, AG?
I think that they just want to win. It doesn't matter where it happens. That's what I think. I think that that's the case with all sports teams. I think they want to lock up their championships wherever they lock them up. Home is nice, and I think that the networks like them to drag things out as long as possible for ad dollars.
Absolutely.
Maybe some incentive for ad dollars and ticket sales, but mostly people just want to win whatever way they can.
Exactly. And that's all we have for Hot Topics today. You are listening to E2G Sports, the Unsung Sports Grid. This is Table Talk with me, Janiak, and AG Unfiltered. If you're looking, though, for more up-to-date NHL playoffs news, please feel free to listen to our favorite podcast. That is E2G Hockey with Dan and Tyson.
Looking to scratch your weekly NHL itch? Be sure to check out E2G Hockey with Dan and Tyson right here at E2G Sports, home of the Unsung Sports Grid. Get your weekly analysis, gossip around the league, and the lamest of dad jokes only at E2G Hockey with Dan and Tyson.
Well, AG, only 17 days until the Olympics. I look forward to all the accomplishments we can start talking about after July 23rd. We know there's going to be some serious badass women to talk about as we move on to our next topic, Olympic medalist. Well, former Olympic medalist, actually, Dominique Dawes, is the executive
producer. You're always an Olympic medalist. You're always an Olympic medalist.
Well,
she
is an Olympic
medalist. She still has her medals. They weren't stripped.
How about that? Dominique Dawes is its executive producer in Golden. It's a new document, a docu-series streaming on Peacock. It follows 5 current hopefuls in their quest to make the Olympics gymnastics team. It's physical, it's emotional, it's a mental journey that most cannot fathom. According to Dawes, they might face harder competition in the U.S. trials than the actual Olympics. The docu highlights the level of sacrifice it takes to get there. It features Morgan Hurd, Lori Hernandez, and Suni Lee, along with a few others. It's meant to shine a light on gymnastics, the pressure, the intensity that social media has added to their journeys, and the changes that are being made to make it a safer environment. AG, you and I have talked a lot about gymnastics this year and the changes that need to be made and what has gone on in the sport. I think we're seeing the women really take charge and highlight that. I look forward to watching this docuseries. I think it comes out like on Thursday or something. And it does highlight some of the girls and follows them up to the Olympic trials.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to this one. I think that adding kind of cameras and chronicling these things is one surefire way to protect these women. And I don't normally believe that being followed with the camera or having any of that stuff is good for you. I think that it's probably detrimental in most normal instances. But in a place where women have these, as young girls and now, you know, more mature women, people were abused and exploited and mistreated, minimalized, gas, you know, with gaslighting and all that kind of stuff. I think that maybe bringing cameras in to chronicle this is a way to keep these girls safe and also
add accountability.
Accountability and watch what happens to them. And I'm not saying you have to like all of a sudden be soft and, you know, and alter everything. But I think that these
training
athletes
is training
successful without being abused. And
yeah.
I think illustrating this will be one way. I mean, we watched Navarro cheer, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's a tough coach who says hard things that are hard to hear to her squad. And I think her approach has brought a lot of success without, at least based on what I saw in the Netflix series, without, you know, tremendous abuse occurring, you know. This is the same way.
Giving direct feedback so people can make a change, make adjustments, and overcome. I think it was interesting. Dominique was interviewed this morning on one of the local New York stations about the docuseries, and she actually it was very interesting to me to hear her say it actually brought back some of the anxiety she used to feel. As far
mm-hmm.
as the pressure to perform. So it's going to be very interesting, I think, to see their journeys. I'm really, because Suni Lee made the team. So it's going to be interesting to see her journey up to it, right? And then see everything she's able to do and take on once we get to the Olympics, since she's one of the youngest to go.
I think we know maybe a bit of what to expect, and I think what we have to realize when we're watching it, because I know the two of us will be watching it, every time we cringe, because we will cringe, we have to think about what happened, you know, to the women who were training for the couple decades before the, you know, our current times, and
absolutely.
Know that it's, while difficult, is probably better for these athletes, thanks to the work that's been done by Allie Raceman and the other women who came forward. So, because not all abuse is sexual, right? So
That's true. A lot of it is emotional and mental. And these girls, unfortunately, had to suffer it from every level. So I'm just glad to see them actually being held accountable with the cameras there. So hopefully that will continue, but these girls really love their sport, and I want to see them succeed and make it great.
Yeah, don't we all?
Yeah. Well, on to something that I'm now calling this a crossover episode or a crossover topic, because we're going to badass woman with bad behavior. So the first ESPN audio has surfaced that depicts ESPN, the jump anchor, Rachel Nichols, having a candid conversation with LeBron James's PR advisor, Adam Mendelsohn, last year during the playoffs, which Rachel expressed frustration that ESPN was looking to have Maria Taylor share hosting duties with her during the finals, something Rachel likened to a diversity play. She has since apologized. She apologized on air for the remarks and got the support of her colleagues. But breaking news, just about an hour ago, the network announced that Mikayla Andrews will now be hosting the NBA Finals. She has been an NBA insider since 2018 and will take over the mic starting tonight. And Nichols has officially been sidelined, saying, "We believe this is the best decision for all concerned in order to keep the focus on the NBA Finals." It's unclear if the move is permanent, but ESPN says Nichols will continue to host the jump. So what is the thing here? Does Nichols get canceled? I mean, this was said over a year ago. Now somebody is trying to call her out on it.
I think you need context here.
Yeah.
I think you 100% need context. And I, you know, if you take stuff out of context and you read a blurb out of context, you can make her a villain. Absolutely. But the real villain is ESPN in this whole thing. If you really look at this story, this woman was sequestered in a hotel room due to COVID restrictions. They're calling it a hot mic situation. It's not really a hot mic situation. Somehow her video stuff was not fully shut off, and she's thinking she's having a private conversation where she's asking someone for advice. And she's saying that she thinks that it's a diversity play because of all these white conservative male Trump supporters leading ESPN, and how she knows what it's like as a woman because she's had to fight it.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're asking her to share, and she's talking about the components of her contract. And she's saying, like, what do I do? You know, I want them to uphold, like, I want to uphold my contract. My contract says that I do this. What, like, she was essentially seeing herself as a victim of their attempt to shoehorn in a co-host. Now she, like, so I think it's a non thing. I mean, like, and like, look what they've done. Malika Andrews,
I think someone wanted to call her out because of the diversity comment, but in all honesty, she was just talking about her fear of getting pushed out because she had worked so hard already to gain that desk position. And she's actually really good.
Well, so you think about it, like, who's the fucking douchebag, right, who just decided that they watch every inch of footage that was from her hotel room? We're like, what was the motivation there? Are they trying to catch her changing clothes? What, like, you know, it's just,
well,
like,
look at what Erin Andrews went through, right?
Yeah.
Erin Andrews very famously at ESPN was caught with a camera in her room. Is this the same thing?
Well, so it's not the same in that they had wired her room because she had to do coverage from there because she had to be in her room. I mean, the Erin Andrews thing was a peeping Tom, but my question is, when you realize that you have footage that is not related to your program, at what point do you think it's appropriate to take out your cell phone and videotape that and then start sharing it around the organization? That motherfucker should be canceled.
Fired.
That person. Because they could have caught her doing anything. And what an invasion of privacy. And at what point have one of us not had a candid conversation with someone that when we needed advice about our job or needed advice about a client situation? You know, I've had candid conversations with people that are not meant for, you know, public consumption. And that's what this woman was doing. And I have to question if it was, you know, any other circumstance, right? If she had,
right.
If it had been a white guy who was, you know, coming in and, you know, and she had said, well, you know, they're trying to do this because they like Trump so much or something like that. Like, who would have grabbed that? Or would it, you know, I don't know. In any other circumstance, would it have just been deleted? And maybe it would have been. And I don't think she should be canceled. And I think it's really unfortunate because she has attempted to reach out and discuss this. And she's, I think, I don't know. I'm not going to apologize for talking about a difficult client situation or difficult work situation with someone.
And I mean, she
are
really
you not
was
to
seeking
have a
advice.
As a
she
woman,
was talking.
Are you not allowed to have a mentor?
Yeah, but she's talking to a publicist. She's asking for advice, like, from a publicist, like, what is your take on this? What do I need to do to protect my career? She's having
and
that conversation with him.
Go ahead. Told her to be careful because that place was a snake pit.
Yes.
And it appears that he was right.
Absolutely. Especially for women. It is a travesty.
You should be able to have a conversation. It's absurd that you can't have a conversation. You know, and she was empathizing at the same time. She was saying, I don't want this to happen to me. And empathizing about, you know, about the situation of other women. Yeah, but she still wanted what was hers. Are we not allowed to want what's ours, what we've contractually achieved?
Yeah. It's flabbergasting. But it's like when, as soon as you get there, you have that goal and you want that job, that career, that role, whatever it happens to be, right? And you get there. As soon as you get there, there's always somebody waiting to take you down. And that's what's so sad about having that ambition.
And here's the thing.
Unless you build it yourself.
The sad thing is there. It doesn't have to be that you can only have one woman, right? I look at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductee list, right? And it was like Pat Benatar or Mariah Carey or something, right? I can be a fan of both. You know, nobody says like, or this other band or whatever. It's the women. They pit the women against each other. And what, like, why? There doesn't have to be.
They've done it forever.
Eight talent. It's like eight talent. Oh, well, we already have the black one, and we already have the Asian one, and we already have the woman singular. You know, and all the other positions are held by men. Like, why can't there's room for more women? You're not like the Today Show is the best example, I think, right?
They
could have said, well, we always have a man and we always have a woman. And they said, you know what? We're going to have Hoda and Savannah. And then, you know, we're going to rotate in some other folks. By the way, Craig had a great comment about Britney Spears today. He's like, we're all with Britney. But, you know,
I know.
It's a female-led show.
I just love
now.
Him. Yeah.
I love him.
It
too.
Is. And
it's
fantastic.
It's a female-led show, and the other people are, you know, supporting players. And there's no reason why ESPN can't have that, and every other network, you know, can't have that. It's like Ruth Bader Ginsburg. How many women, you know, would you be happy when, like, how many women are on the Supreme Court? And she said, when there are nine. It's
yes.
The same fucking thing. We don't have to hold a – you know – it's not a 50-50 population. Women are the majority population. Why are we still marginalized? Why are we still, you know, meeting a small quota? Stop pitting these women against each other. ESPN, fucking white supremacist, well, I shouldn't call it white, conservative white men from Connecticut. Fuck off.
Well, the next person we need to call out is Shikari Richardson. She tested positive for marijuana and has been banned from participating in the Olympics. There was an online petition called Let Shikari Run. This has sparked a tidal wave of conversation around marijuana being on the banned list. It is legal now in more states. I think it's something like 42. Some form of marijuana is legal, and it is not a performance-enhancing drug. I think Seth Rogen put it best. He said, if weed weighed you fast, I'd be slow, Joe. So if she can run that fast with it, imagine how fast she is without it. AG, I'm very interested in what you have and what you think on this. I think, way more pro-pot than you are. So let's get into it.
Yeah, so I'm pro-pot. I'll say this. I just don't enjoy it personally, right? I'm not a person who, as you know, enjoys really any altered state.
That's true.
It doesn't make me feel good. I don't like the way an edible tastes. I'll never smoke, you know, stuff like that. But my thing with this is it was pretty stupid of her to do it because
Absolutely. She
knew she was going to get tested. So that's like, you know, self-destructive behavior, which is concerning because you've been working so hard for something. It's not worth it to jeopardize it. It's a stupid rule. It's really stupid. And then she made another bad decision going on the Today Show, which
oh,
people
God.
Are applauding her for. But, I mean.
Well, she was very honest on the Today Show. She wore her heart on her sleeve. But
100%.
She did not protect herself in any way. When she had no media training. LSU did that girl a disservice. They never. Never had media training. I felt so bad for her.
Yeah.
She was so uncomfortable. Even Savannah at some point really felt bad for her and then started giving her legal advice. So it was a train wreck of an interview as far as that's concerned, because she definitely didn't leave any anything out there to have any type of walk back or to protect herself.
Yeah, deny,
because she
deny,
opened,
deny, deny, deny.
Exactly. Exactly. Let people fight it out for you.
When you're accused of a wrongdoing, you plead not guilty off the, like, just out of the gate. That's what happens. And I watched that interview, and, you know, she
it's
said that
cringeworthy.
She had been blindsided by a reporter who decided to announce to her that her biological, and I don't know the family dynamics, but that her biological mother had died.
Yep.
It's like, hey, we're in the middle of a press conference. Get this, your biological mother's dead, because that insensitive motherfucker just wanted to get in there with some shock value. Maybe like her having long fingernails and like fun color hair or something was detracting from, you know, his good day. So he decided to go in there with the singer, which is incredibly insensitive. She went out. She clearly is lacking in some coping skills and coping mechanisms, obviously does not have a good team around her because she opted to ingest marijuana in some way, shape, or form and then popped on the drug test. And so, you know, it's not a performance enhancer. It didn't make her run faster. It didn't give her some sort of advantage at all. So I don't understand why she would be banned or why she'd be stripped of her.
What all the controversy is it shouldn't be on the banned substance list is what they're trying to get it removed from all athletes. Football, you know, the NFL guys are now 100% on board with her and on top of it, you know, because it also like helps as a pain medication.
I know.
It'll be interesting to see and anything changes the conversation, right? Even Biden came out.
Yeah. So the thing is, it changes the conversation, but does it let her run? She's a very accomplished athlete. Are the games better because she wouldn't be there representing the United States? I don't think so. It's not like she ate some bullshit burrito and didn't know that it had something from like the banned list of actually
steroids.
It's not like she took steroids. She smoked some pot or ate some edible or put tincture in a drink or had a seltzer. Who the fuck knows what she did? But she does not have a good team around her because a good team around her would not have let her go on the Today Show. They would have advised her against consuming that. They would have said, take something else, you know, here, like, let's do this. You know, she would have had someone redirect her because does she need to be the champion of this? I think she would have rather gone and run her race and been a gold medalist than be the person who takes this torch, right? And,
exactly.
I mean, good for her if she's ready to fall on the sword for this one, if she's not going to fight it. But, God, did she not give herself any room for an appeal in that Today Show interview? And I was watching it, and I was feeling really uncomfortable and really sad. And
It was bad.
And Savannah, I thought, was like, you know, it's not illegal where you are and, you know, whatever. She shouldn't be.
Yeah, she was definitely trying to help her.
She was. But, like, why does this woman, what she should have to do a mea culpa for is breaking the rules, not for the actions she took. She didn't hurt anybody.
Yeah, absolutely. But we have more to get to, and we've got about 11 minutes left. So we're going to move on and say bravo to MLB Commissioner Bob Manfred. He has placed LA Dodgers pitcher Trevor Bauer on paid administrative leave in the wake of the allegations that Bauer violently punched and choked a woman during two sexual encounters earlier this year, one in April and one in May. Per MLB rules, Manfred can extend the administrative leave, and he plans on doing so. That's also been announced this afternoon if the MLB Players Union signs off. And according to that, it seems it seems very likely at this point. TMZ first reported the woman at Bauer choked her to the point of losing consciousness while having sex with her during two separate incidents in May and April. The woman in civil court documents says she met Bauer through Instagram and claims that the baseball player punched her, scratched her repeatedly, leaving her with visible lacerations and bruises. There's also lots of other allegations in this story that I'm not even sure that we can say on a podcast. It's pretty disgusting, and he is claiming that the sex was consensual and that she liked it rough. AG, did I lose you? AG, did
I'm
I lose
here now.
You?
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Can
what
you hear
happened?
Me?
I can hear you.
Yeah,
can you hear me?
I had to dial back in. I somehow lost you. I wasn't sure which one of us was lost. This story, there's a lot to unpack with this story. And so I think Bob Manfred did the right thing with this administrative leave. It is paid. I think the Dodgers just said, like, people are innocent until proven guilty. This is an odd story. So the photos are super upsetting. The story super upsetting. But there's more to unpack here. If these text messages are accurate, there was an agreement between these two individuals to engage in some rough sex. And they had rough sex on one day, on one occasion, and then again. And again, I'm going to preface this with if these texts are accurate. It appears that this was consensual for the most part. And here's where it gets weird. So I don't ever make judgments on people for their sexual proclivities. Right? People
mm-hmm.
are into all sorts of things. And as long as it's consensual, do whatever the fuck you want.
Exactly.
Okay. So mistakes were made in their agreement, right? Had they not discussed limits and hard no's? Were there no safe words? Like where did this go wrong?
Well, I think the part was the unconscious part when he choked her to a point of unconsciousness.
Yes. If someone goes unconscious, which, by the way, was part of their play, apparently, all activity has to stop until consciousness is once again reached. Because
mm-hmm.
if you are engaging in sex with someone who's unconscious, that's assault. And I think that's where things get a little dicey, right? So
absolutely.
If your rule is you can't fuck me while I'm asleep, you can't fuck me in the ass, you can't, like, if those are the rules, then those should be identified and those should be the rules. If the texts are accurate where she talks about how much she was getting off by going unconscious in the first act, a little dicey. And if this all happened in April and there's been no contact since the last incident in April, why?
No, there is another one in May. So there was two incidents, the one in April that led to the May encounter, which is when he apparently went a little too far.
So, right. And so is that miscommunication? Is it assault? What is it, right? Like, you know, I think in the reports, it's like he was like, you know, and this is totally creepy. If this isn't what she requested, that he was like, are you okay? You're safe. You know, like, that says to me, like, maybe he was kind of freaked out. Like, I don't know what their rules were. And you cannot say that you were assaulted once and then went back again. And then, you know, with weird conversation in between. I'm not victim shaming at all.
There's both sides to this story, and I think there's something after she lost consciousness that happened that really is the assault.
And that would be called assault. Unless those first texts are accurate where she talks about in the text how she got off by going unconscious.
Well, even if she was, the part of it is that he crossed a line. It was something that she did not consent to, right? And she, there's
I don't know.
Victim statement that came out that says, she says, look, this is something I absolutely did not consent to, and I was unconscious. So that's where I think.
And so that's assault, right?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, what I was reading, you know, had a lot of information. Again, I do not believe in victim shaming. I tend to lean toward always agreeing with the victim, you know, or with the reporter, right? The person who's reporting. I don't know if there were, you know, there are places you can go if that's what you're looking for. And he clearly went to the wrong place.
That's true. And we have about 5 minutes left, so we're going to breeze through a couple of these other ones. So WWE star Jimmy Uso was arrested last night at 10:30, by the way. DUI, again, this is his third arrest since 2019. The cops stopped him going 50 into 35 in Florida. He had a blood alcohol content of 0.205. The legal limit is 0.08. This guy clearly needs help, and I hope that the WWE steps in and gets him the help he needs. He's going to hurt somebody. They need to take his car away. Like, it's got to happen.
So he was arrested in 2011 for DUI, got probation. Arrested twice for alcohol-related incidents in 2019, one not guilty in Pensacola, and then one was arrested for disorderly conduct and obstruction following an altercation with the police in Detroit. So you don't know if it's an addiction issue or if he's just one of those entitled assholes who doesn't understand consequences. So it remains to be seen. We'll see if anything happens. It's not safe for other people to be out and on the road with him when he's been consuming alcohol, or, you know, maybe at a bar with him if he's been consuming alcohol. His behavior suggests that he doesn't necessarily face consequences, and so there's been no deterrent for him to do it again. So we'll see how the WWE reacts to this. Clearly, nothing really happened. It's not like he got in trouble. You know, he was out for an injury for the last time he was out. So, you know, we'll see what happens.
We will. And in good news, the NFL tracker is now up to 14 days. Again, the average is 7, and the record is 65. Goodell, you impotent piece of shit, please take notes from Rob Manfred, because he stepped in and did the right thing.
He stepped in and said, oh, hey, you don't have to come to work. We're still going to pay you. That's because they don't want to get sued. There needs to be reform across the board. In professional sports, there needs to be consequences across the board. It appears that the NHL and the MLB are taking things more seriously than individual owners take things. And what we need is for the NFL, with that impotent piece of shit Roger Goodell at the helm, to start having the same, you know, start having the ovaries to do something real. That's all.
Absolutely. You are listening to EGG Sports, the Unsung Sports Grid. We usually talk about some Patriots here. We have 90 seconds left, so we're not going to be able to really talk about anything, but we will close out today. You are listening to Table Talk with me, Janiak, and AG Unfiltered. One quick Patriots thing is our ex-boyfriend, Tom Brady, has the disease that all boaters have. We need a bigger boat. He is anxiously awaiting the arrival of his 77-footer. He is upgrading from the 55-footer that was the star of the Buccaneers Super Bowl parade. I whimper at this because it is such a beautiful boat, but the 77-footer looks even more impressive. So good luck to Tom. We love that. Next week we will definitely be talking about the Washington football team and this total bitch slap of a wrist slap of the $10 million fine.
They need
is a complete
bitch slap,
disgrace.
They got a wrist slap. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, we got to love Bills Mafia and their support of the Toronto Blue Jays, giving them a home base up there in Buffalo. Buffalo's won an MLB franchise for decades. So thank you, Bills Mafia fans, for really supporting the team that didn't have a home but still wanted to play the season. 10 seconds left, AG. Get vaccinated. Stay cool. Be safe, Florida. You got a big storm coming. Keep on talking. We love you.
Massachusetts, one of two of the safest states and places to avoid COVID. Go Massachusetts.
Woo!